And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's really good to be with you. It's going to be a beautiful day outside. It's already pretty warm. It's not cool. It's pretty warm. That means you can go outside and have fun. And if your fun is called yard work, even better. We have somebody calling. Let me go ahead and go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I was calling. I was dazed. This number by one of my brothers, and I have a sick brother that have ALS, and I was trying to see if Dr. Morgan could tell me anything that could help him with the ALS.
What did he do for a living?
He's like a contractor. Management over maintenance man.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Over apartments.
The highest levels of ALS that I've ever seen are among welders or people that are around chemicals of some kind.
Right, and he always worked.
Yeah, and so he probably had significant exposure to different man-made chemicals. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Okay, so detoxification is one of the things you got to look at. Do you know what chlorella is?
No, sir.
That might be absolutely one of the easiest things that he could do right now to help himself. And I think one of the brands that I like, it's called Sun Chlorella. Just like you'd say, hey, the sun's out today. S-U-N. And so chlorella is something that he could take, and what that does in turn is it helps assist his body in trying to clean up the chemical residue that his system may be holding on to. The problem with the chemicals, it's neurologically toxic, meaning it's toxic to the part of the brain that would be affected by the ALS.
Okay. Could you spell that
Yeah, let me write it down first. I'm kind of phonically challenged.
Okay.
Okay, chlorella is spelled C-H-L-O-R-E-L-L-A, chlorella.
Okay, and where could I buy this at?
Well, if you live out in the country, you could just order it online. There's a very small mom-and-pop website called Amazon.com. I'm just trying to be funny. Yeah, so you could, and actually, if I'm not mistaken, Amazon is absolutely the largest seller of nutritional remedies or supplements.
Okay.
But the other thing is, I mean, I would encourage him as much as you're able to. You're trying to clean up the diet as much as humanly possible, which means everything really begins in the gut. So if we can give him things like clean seafood, meat, vegetables, a little bit of fruit, that's really his best interest. And what you want to do is you want to avoid all the packaged foods and the sugar.
Okay.
If it were me, I would also give him cod liver oil.
Okay. That
cod liver oil, turmeric, ginger. Those are things that help decrease inflammation. So that's one of the aspects of ALS is your body's just dealing with the inflammation. So at least he can take off on that course of action.
Okay. And just a clean diet.
Oh, yes. That's like so critical. I mean, ultimately, it's really an autoimmune disease where your immune system is attacking that part of the brain. But you're trying to clean it up so the body won't do that.
Okay.
And so what he eats is going to make a huge difference. And so, for example, if he likes to eat fruit salad, well, I think I'd make him some fruit salad, but I'd throw some blueberries in there.
Okay.
Anything that has polyphenols that are really good for the brain. You know, if you really loved him, you would go to Alaska right now in the wilderness and you would fight a couple of grizzly bears over fresh salmon, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure.
Man, if it was only that easy.
Yes. Because it took them almost 2 years to diagnose him with it.
So that means he had some symptoms, and they really couldn't figure out what the deal was, but he kind of suffered and went downhill. Is that it?
Well, we ended up the changing doctors with it, because he just kept losing weight.
Bless his heart.
He kept losing weight, and they just kept saying, they kept testing him for his lungs. They kept testing him.
Oh, boy.
They were doing all these tests, and they said his lungs, all that was okay. It was okay. And then they finally sent him to a neurologist. The lung doctor.
Yes, ma'am.
This last Sunday, sent him to a neurologist. And they looked at him, and they said, he said, I think I know what it is. He said, but I'm going to run some tests. And he did the test, and then they told him that he definitely had ALS.
When was this diagnosed?
About 3 weeks ago.
Okay. What I'm going to do is, since you got your pencil handy, there's a type of a diet that I want you to just take a look at. It's called keto. Okay. K-E-T-O.
Uh-huh.
And just look at that, or maybe have him look at it. And what you could do is you could just go on YouTube and type in keto diet for ALS and just see if he finds anything that rings true with him.
Oh, okay.
So at least those are some options right there.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And tell him I'm rooting for him and wishing the very best for him.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You have a great Saturday. Day. Oh, you okay. Too. Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's just the way it is. When a person is very young, they usually have very few health problems other than the normal ones. I mean, it's normal for a child to have a cold or a runny nose, even adults. And that's what you want. You want to have your immune system trained and challenged. And we're getting another phone call, and that's more important. So I'm going to go to that. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Well, thanks for your phone call.
thanks for your service. I have a friend of a friend, so I don't know a lot of information, but wanting to lower her cholesterol, they have her on statin, she wants to get off that. I've told her about hibiscus tea, or my son's telling her about hibiscus tea, and stuff, and then intermittent fasting, but she does have a problem with not being able to go very long without food. She gets very lightheaded, I guess, with her sugar and stuff, but anything that you suggest will help. So,
do you know what the cholesterol levels are exactly?
No, sir, I don't. Just know that she has high and that she's on. They have her on statin. I'm not for sure how long she's been on it, but she is trying to do better, eat better. And
That's good.
Yes.
See there, she's trying to help herself.
Yes, sir.
I like that. Okay, let me give you some simple ideas. Hang on just a second. Do you know how old she is? And you don't have to be perfect.
Roughly 50. She's young.
Do you know if she's in menopause now, or is she still cycling?
I have no idea on that.
Okay, and I realize that's, I can't expect you to, what's her favorite color? I'm joking. I can't expect you to know all this stuff. Okay, so, two or three things that I want you to think about, and I'm not saying that I'm going to be right or wrong, but they're just ideas.
Oh, yes.
There was one study that was done in India, and I'm just kind of giving this for information, but it was in a very specific community in India. It was called the Jain community, and I think that's spelled J-A-I-N, just in case you wanted to look up cholesterol studies on the Jain community. But anyway, what I was going to say is this right here, because this one's always fascinated me. Now, I do not know a lot about Hinduism. Do you?
No, and don't want to.
Okay, well, and it's fine. But I mean, I'm curious, you know, what are their beliefs?
Yes,
but
I am curious, too.
Well, and all I was going to say is I think one of their beliefs is that if there's a cow you don't eat the cow because just maybe you could have a relative that just passed away and they're reincarnating into the cow. Anyway, I probably don't even know what I'm saying on that, but that's just I'm just talking. And so they don't really eat red meat. Does that make sense?
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. So anyway, here's where I'm going with that. So if you're not eating meat or animal flesh or as much as maybe what we do here in America or in Europe or Japan or other countries, well, then what's going to take up your diet? You're probably going to be eating quite a bit of grains. And so they probably consume a bit more wheat, maybe more corn, rice, probably potatoes. And you get where I'm coming from on this. They're just consuming a fairly high starch diet. Anyway, in this study, all they did was they looked at cholesterol and triglyceride levels. And they showed that where the people in this Jain community consumed the lowest amount of onions and the least amount of garlic, they absolutely had the highest level of cholesterol. And, of course, I'm just looking in my mind right now, but I want to say it was well above 275 on the total cholesterol. Now, if you compare that with people that consumed absolutely the most onions and the most garlic, they pretty much had the most normal lower cholesterol levels of anybody measured.
Okay.
So there's an idea right there. So if cholesterol is elevated, maybe your body is telling you that you need foods that have more of the nutrients that it needs to keep your body clean and healthy. So onions are kind of hard to beat, and of course garlic is really hard to beat. I mean, you've heard of the benefits of onions and garlic, haven't you?
Oh yes, sir. Yes,
so
sir.
If you're
I do more onions now because of you. I'm not a onion person, but I do like them cooked.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you had any problem with werewolves coming around your house?
No.
See, it works. That garlic and onions keeps them. No, I'm just joking about that.
I know.
And so your friend, that's one thing she can do. The other thing, there are studies that demonstrate there can be a positive effect for consumption of cod liver oil or eating fish a couple times a week.
Oh, yeah.
Even if we just looked at the studies on women that consume salmon twice a week, their risk of having a stroke goes so far down that it's greater than any blood thinning drug that you could give them or other medication. So just eating a food or eating a type of meat like salmon that has rich fats in it is actually good to kind of clean up the blood and make the blood flow better. So that's another thing right there. Now, and I'm just telling you, these are random statements, but they're based on what I've seen.
All good.
Well, and occasionally I'm going to come across a person, they just can't seem to make it without sugar. They can't seem to survive. In those cases, I always think about one or two elements in nature called magnesium and zinc. And I can't even tell you over the years how many people I've seen that if you just give them a little bit of zinc, not too much, maybe 20, 30 milligrams, all of a sudden their cholesterol levels come down lower and lower and lower. So I'm not saying that's universal for everyone, but if you have a person that really likes sugar and they're prone to being a little dizzy, a little lightheaded, a little fainting spell, a little bit of weakness, then that's what you think of zinc because they're probably eating a lot of sugar.
Okay.
I
think she tries to cut out her sugar.
Well, sugar is the very substance that your body makes cholesterol out of. So anytime that you can cut out refined sugar. See, what I would recommend is if she wants something sweet, it's called fruit salad.
Yes.
Or a bowl of fresh strawberries.
Yes.
And that would be doable.
On the intermittent fasting, I know that you suggested last Saturday to a lady of doing it earlier instead of later.
Yeah,
I do mine in the middle of it from 10 to 2 or 3, something like that.
Okay.
So, but she has meds that she has to take, so I was suggesting, or my son's going to tell us about earlier.
And this is probably
doing it earlier.
Yeah, this is probably the next part of the topic, and I'm never trying to be negative. I'm just telling you how it is and how it works. But if we did a literature search right now on the computer, and we typed in statin drugs causing diabetes and blood sugar problems, it's just like So, and I want to say, what is the drug? Is it called Lipitor or Rivastatin? But they show that if you take it for 7 consecutive years, the likelihood of you developing adult onset type 2 diabetes, it's through the roof high. You're going to have diabetes if you take it. And when's the last time you've heard somebody give you full disclosure where they said, ma'am, we're going to give you a statin drug to lower your cholesterol, but guess what you're going to develop? Diabetes.
Yeah.
And you already know where this goes. Diabetes doesn't do your heart any favors. It makes you most prone to cancer. It makes you prone to Alzheimer's and dementia. It just doesn't do you any favors at all.
Yeah, I've always heard things about it, and it's, none of it's good. That's why she's trying to get off of it. Well, good. Okay. I guess that's it, unless you can think of something else.
No, well, can I give you just some simple ideas?
Oh, yes, sir.
What if she set her mind like Flint that she was going to have one green salad a day? And everybody's got their own taste. I mean, I like wild mixed greens. I like anything. Sometimes I get those coleslaw mixes with cabbage and, you know, where they shred up broccoli and stuff. I like that stuff. But you could make a salad just about any way that you want. And right now, if you go into one of these stores that are more health-minded, and I don't know where your friend lives. Let's just say, is she in the Tyler area?
No, I'm in Crockett. She's in Crockett area.
Okay, so like if we were in Tyler, there would be a store called Drug Emporium. There's one called Sprouts. There's probably the Granary. There's Whole Health. There's all natural grocery. There's all these health food stores, which are all good, and they're providing a great service. But what you're looking for is you're looking for a salad dressing that's made of actual real oil, like olive oil.
Okay.
And one study that I looked at showed that when you use olive oil as a salad dressing, you actually absorb between 700 and 800% more nutrients from your salad than if you did not use it and ate it dry. To me, that's a huge deal. So when you put oil or good fat on your salad, you're going to get more goodness from it, more nutrients.
Now, that part I had never heard.
Well, okay, so if you take that information, you go, all right, this lady could benefit by eating one green salad a day. And if she says, well, I really like my salad with, I don't know, chicken, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
or,
she could pour.
Or fish.
You know, the one of the salad dressings that I like, I just like the taste of it. It's made by a company called Bragg's. I think they're famous for apple cider vinegar. But if you look at the ingredients, it says olive oil, apple cider vinegar. But the one that I really like is called sesame ginger.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But, oh, rats, I wish I hadn't told you about it. That way when I go to the shelf and look for it, it's going to be gone now. I knew I should have kept it to myself.
I'm not close to you, but I'm going to the Granary next week.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get through with this program super fast, and I'm going to race right there so I can get the last bottle on the shelf.
Well, you will beat me.
Well, not if you get a head start. And so that would be one of the things that you would do. So anytime that your cholesterol is elevated, that tells – and can I just have permission just to have speak freely with you?
This means
is her blood's just real dirty. It just is. We got to clean her up. And so the way that you do that is I want to talk her into drinking water instead of anything besides water. Now, the other thing that counts is herbal tea. So if you took, for example, like you mentioned earlier, hibiscus.
Yes, sir.
If you want to pour some water over that and drink it hot or cold, that's good. That's actually good for the body.
Yes,
or if you want to drink green tea or dandelion or marshmallow or something like that, rose hips. And so if we could just get her to start drinking water and herbal tea, that would go a long way to trying to clean up her blood a bit.
Okay.
All right. But she probably needs a little bit of magnesium, because when you're low in magnesium, you tend to get really, really weak when you go too long without food.
Gotcha. Okay. I knew some of the other stuff, but I didn't know the magnesium was one of those. I mean, I'm big on magnesium. I take quite a bit, but I didn't know it contributed to that.
Yeah, it does contribute. I think that's a really good way that you worded that. It contributes to it.
Okay.
And so if she did that, and if she set her mind also that if she would have just very simple meals, and that could be as simple as I'm going to have salmon with butter and lemon juice and cayenne. Well, do you like spicy food?
Yes, I do.
I really do. So for me, any of these spicy mixes on salmon, I'm game. And then if you had something like broccoli or asparagus or Brussels sprouts, at least you're giving your body...
I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast.
Well, you know what? Salmon for breakfast is not a bad thing. It is not a sin.
Well, I'm glad to go fishing then because I don't have it. Oh, I've got canned wild salmon.
Perfect.
Wild caught.
Perfect. That's excellent. Do you actually have a fishing pole?
Yes, somewhere. I haven't been fishing in a while.
This woman was telling me yesterday, she said, you know what? All I want to do to relax is go fishing. I said, really? What are you going to use for bait? She says, anything I can catch, like a cricket.
Hey. That, yes.
Well, what's wrong with that? It's free bait, right?
Yes, it is.
Where do you go fishing in Crockett?
My mother lives on Houston County Lake.
Oh.
And I'm like, if I was to walk 15 minutes down the road, I run into Houston County Lake.
So, man, I'm liking this story.
Oh, yes.
Now, are you like Huckleberry Finn? Do you carry your lunch in a handkerchief over a stick or a pole? Barefooted?
No, this is Texas. It gets too warm. I put it in the...
Oh, you got a good point there.
over my shoulder.
Well, what would be wrong with you going fishing today and having fun?
Oh, it sounds good.
It sure does.
I haven't been fishing in a while.
Well, be sure and give my very best to your friend, and I hope these things work out for her. But all this needs to be turned around. It really does.
We introduced her to your program, so hopefully she's listening. But
yeah.
I know my son's inside taking notes.
Okay,
so thank
good
you
deal.
And God bless you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for your blessing. I pray that God looks upon you with great favor today.
Oh, he always does.
Oh, that's beautiful. Isn't that great? Thank you so much, ma'am.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Alrighty. If you'd like to join me on the air, there's a phone line once again open. It's 903-586-5257. The other thing that's kind of hard to explain, I'll try though. Well, hang on, we got a phone call. Good morning and welcome to the show today.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, I've got a question about you, for you. I would like to hear your rundown and your feedback, opinions about microwave oven. I put 7 eggs and was boiling mine and I blew my microwave up the other day, and I was thinking about getting another one, but I hear a lot of people don't think those are very good to use.
I don't think they're good at all. I know that's not much of an opinion, but I think that what they do is they derange and alter the protein structure or the structure of a natural protein to one that's unnatural. I just don't think it's in your best interest. You know what you ought to think about? Have you ever used an air fryer?
I've got one.
Well, do you like it?
Well, I was going to ask you a question about that next time I talk to you. I love.
Okay, see you later. No, go ahead. I'm joking.
Well, I noticed that the basket on my air fryer seems like the paint's coming off of them. You know, the little serrated part?
Well, then you need to get those little paper things. Is it called parchment paper?
Oh, no.
It's that oven safe paper to keep it from, so you don't want that Teflon coating at all. I think the best air fryers are probably the ones that have like a stainless steel basket. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
In your case, I would settle for a gold basket.
Gold one?
A gold one. Yeah. Mhm.
You mean like the mineral gold?
Yeah, exactly. You know I'm joking about the gold, but if you had one that was made of stainless steel, I think that would be good. That way you could cook just about anything you want in those. If you told me you had some, horrible tasting salmon fillets, I'd help you come eat them.
We'd go to Alaska and go fishing for those one of these days, maybe.
Now, do they like spinner baits like I use for bass?
I used to catch them on. Let me think. I used to catch them with the fish wheels with the natives on the Yukon River.
Oh. You know,
fish wheels.
You mean just let the fish wheel and the net do its job, huh?
Yeah, I was down on the Yukon River one time. We were having daily vacation Bible school for the kids in the village of Rampart on the Yukon River.
Really?
One of the elders says, we were sitting down there by the Yukon, he said, "Do you hear that?" And I says, "What? I just hear seagulls in the water." He said, "We've got to get in my boat, go down there and check the fish wheel. There's a big salmon in there." So we went down. I couldn't tell how he could hear it because it was way down in the eddy. But we got down there. It was a 55-pound king salmon flopping around in the fish basket on that fish wheel.
Evidently, he knew what that sound sounded like.
Yeah, all of his life, you know, he knew what that sound was.
Now, did he bend over low to the ground and put his ear to the ground, and that's how he could tell?
No, we were just sitting there beside the peaceful on the Yukon River.
Man.
Just beautiful, nice and warm. And I was out there last night fishing, and the whippoorwills and the bullfrogs were croaking, and I caught about a 4.5-pound bass last night.
I'm jealous. Wait a second. I'm not supposed to be covetous. I retract that comment. There was a YouTube video about this African hunter-gatherer tribe. I think they're called the Hadzabi tribe or Hadza, something like that. But if I get it wrong. But these guys are going through the forest, and they said, "Did you hear that?" And they go, "What is it?" He says, "The bird tells me that around a corner there's a tree that has honey in it." And I'm going, "Really? You're listening to a bird?" But those guys are so in tune with nature, they can just tell where stuff is. And, of course, they climbed the trees and got all the honey they wanted. I bet that tasted good.
So, beekeeper, that's a good story. You want to hear a story about a raven in Alaska?
A raven? I do.
Mm-hmm. When I was working on the Exxon Valdez oil spill in Valdez, Alaska, I was sitting in Long John Silver's in Valdez after I worked that day, looking out the window, and my truck was parked right out the window there. I was eating in that booth, and a raven landed on my hood of my pickup truck. I got up, walked out, because it had dropped something on the hood. You know what that raven had done?
What?
It had looked at the windshield on my pickup, and it was all dinged up because I drive the haul road up from Fairbanks up to my cabin in the Arctic, 250 miles north of Fairbanks up that gravel road. And that raven had looked at all the rock stars and the cracks in my windshield, flew away, came back, and dropped a piece of broken glass on my
hood. Oh, my word.
And let me know. And I said, "Okay, God, I know you've fed people with the raven, delivered messages. Are you telling me I need to get my windshield fixed?"
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, when I went back to Fairbanks the end of that summer, Alaska State Trooper stopped me. He said, "I know you live up above the Arctic Circle up there. I know by your license plate, you're a ham radio operator, but you're going to have to get that windshield fixed if you stay here much longer." And I said, "I know, a raven already told me." His eyebrows went up. He said, "What?" And I told him that story. He started laughing. But, yeah, raven had told me about that before it happened.
Can I recommend Safelite Auto Repair? Because the commercial shows they drive right to your house. It doesn't say anything about not going to the Arctic Circle. So I'm sure they'll come there and they'll change it on the spot for a small fee.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. You know, in Alaska, you're going to have to replace your windshield if you drive out like I did on the haul road.
But is that just from following vehicles in front of you, or is there another reason?
Well, those oil field trucks coming back down from Prudhoe Bay, oil and hauling the supplies, the oil field supplies.
And so when you pass them?
Yeah.
Okay. Or you meet them passing, excuse me.
Yeah, they'll come right at
you. Oh, man.
Hit that windshield. I've had God warn me before, put my sunglasses on, looking at a truck coming up, head up there in the wilderness.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sure enough, that rock hit.
Isn't it annoying when you pull over at the gas station, you got to start pulling out chunks of gold nuggets out of your windshield and say, "This is just so pesky in the Yukon"?
Well, I'm still wanting to find somebody to go up there and go diving where I know gold is.
Do they need to be hardy?
Yeah, but there needs there's a lot of guys that told me, I've told them this story. I know where gold is. It's in the bedrock down on the John River, on the Koyukuk River. And they says, Orbit.
Hang on just a second. John River. What's the other one called?
Koyukuk is where I lived for 7 years.
Koyukuk?
Metals. But, yeah, there's a lot of guys told me, says, Orbit, I'd go up there even if we didn't find any of the gold, just to go through the adventure of what you're talking about.
But, hey, that's the worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah. I better get off here and
okay.
Let somebody else.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your phone call, sir.
Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. All righty here. There is a phone line officially open in case you want to call and ask a question. And I promise you this is not the gold mining hour. Wait a second, Koyukuk. How do I spell that? I should have asked him. Rats. I'm going to have to phonically look it up later. I'm sure it's just a day's travel. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing so good. Thank you. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. I'm calling my mother. She's 86 years young, and we are really having some health challenges. I think they've been accumulative over the mm-hmm. years, but you know, it's just kind of. But we're really having a hard time, and some of the signs of something that's going on right now is a low sodium level. Every time she comes, she's had a second back surgery just this past November.
Oh, yeah.
And every time she comes out, she's low sodium, but she's even going low sodium in. And so, you know, they'll tell her pre-op to drink some Gatorade every day and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we're just trying to figure out, you know, there seems to always be instead of just treating symptoms, you know, really mm-hmm. finding out what the
this is a conversation about the kidneys.
Oh, okay.
And so the kidneys, that's your gatekeeper for sodium, and so it's going to be the system that tells your body what leaves and what stays. Like, do I hold on to it? Do I let go of it? So usually that's a kidney situation right there. Now.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. That's fine.
No. It, what about the thyroid and the kidney together? I mean, is there any connection?
Well, there's actually no tissue in the body or cell that the thyroid doesn't, you know, regulate. I mean, the thyroid is necessary by every living cell of the body, even the kidneys. So, yeah, it could be that. And you know, so, for example, if you did a blood test and she was really low in what's called T4, I mean, all the organs get weaker when you're low in T4. And you start to lose your vital life force and energy when you're low in T3.
Okay, well, that's what she... those came out normal, but I know that you can have some subclinical... You know, that you can have issues that maybe just don't show up on the regular test.
Well, can I tell you just a couple things that I would look at if this were me with low sodium?
Yes.
Okay, let me go backwards just for a second. Usually when somebody's sodium levels are low, they're just so weak. They just don't have the physical strength or endurance they used to. And so a lot of their motions and movements are like, okay, I'm going to drag my carcass off the couch so I can go to the bathroom. But it's just with great effort when you're low in sodium because you're just like so exhausted. So, and you've got to have sodium just to digest protein.
Right.
And so... I'm really telling you the truth when I'm telling you these things, but you always have the right to reject all of them if you don't like them. But one of the things that I would do is I would give her probably the most perfect protein of all time to see if it helps rejuvenate her. It's called a sardine. And so your best bet is probably going to be what's called boneless, skinless sardines that are packed in olive oil. I think that's the best you can find.
All right. All right.
So at least you know what you're looking for.
Okay, and what would you, is there any way to correct the kidneys? I know she's at, you know, for her age, they said that the stage that she's at with her creatinine, you know, and all that is acceptable in her age range.
Well, I know that's their opinion, but I would say there's a huge difference between acceptable and optimal and functioning a whole lot better, right?
You're right.
Okay, so let me say this, because this was going to be the second thing I was going to say. One of the best sources of organic sodium is going to come from a vegetable called celery.
Okay.
So if anyone lived close to your mama, or she could do it herself, if she could juice some celery every day, that would go like a long way to really help in the situation.
Okay. Okay. And I guess what I'm asking, too, is this is for rejuvenation, though, not just...
No. I got that. We're headed that direction. I promise you.
Okay. Okay.
And so the next thing I was going to... What I can do is I can scratch all this other talk if you just want to talk about that, but I'm really trying to get there.
Yeah, no, that's good.
What you need to do is you need to start making your mom her own Gatorade every day.
Okay.
Don't buy the stuff in the store. I can't even tell you how many people I've seen over the years that get this sugar-free Gatorade, and it's just garbage. Garbage. It's horrible for the body. To wreck the immune system also. So if you make her own Gatorade, it could be just as simple as, and we're trying to fix the kidneys too, get some frozen Concord grape juice concentrate that's in the frozen food section.
Okay.
And what you could do is you could just dump an entire can of it in about a half to two-thirds of a gallon of water, and then get your hands on either Redmond sea salt or Celtic salt or some pink Himalayan salt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just stir it into that half a gallon of water and probably use the juice of either a lime or a lemon. And she could just sip on that throughout the day. And the point that I'm getting to is that grapes are very, very good to help heal the kidneys.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And which I don't know the details of your mother's lab test, but it would be really hard not to take what I'm going to... There's a product by Standard Process called Rena Food. If you do that, at least now we're starting the process of trying to rejuvenate the kidneys.
Okay.
The other
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think that her, because of being on diclofenac for arthritis way back, you know what I mean? It really did. She was taken off of using it because of her kidney. You know what I mean? Her kidney.
Well, I'm going to say it in reverse. It's because the kidneys were weak that she developed arthritis to begin with.
Okay.
So I know that's completely 180 degrees away from what they're telling. They're saying, you got pain, let's give you this drug. And by the way, this drug is going to beat the crap out of the kidneys. But the problem is the kidneys were weak. And so the very first symptom that a person has quite often when the kidneys are not working right is they hurt. And they hurt and hurt and hurt. And so that's your body's way of telling you need to fix the kidneys. And so, I know I'm throwing a lot of things at you, but do you know what magnesium is?
We take Calm every night.
Okay, magnesium is probably one of the most critical elements when you're trying to help the kidneys work better. And then if I added one more thing to it, study after study shows that just a little bit of baking soda, and that's called bicarbonate, but you could stir it into just a little bit of water and drink it every morning, that actually does help the kidneys. It helps soothe all the inflammation and all the acid. And so with your mom, I want to talk her into eating some frozen cherries every day. Or if she needs something sweet, we give her cherries and blueberries and strawberries in a bowl and say, eat that.
Yeah.
So, but it's the hardest thing on the kidneys of all time is going to be soft drinks and sugar.
Okay. Yeah, she's not... Oh, she didn't have to have those. She's not, you know what I mean? She'll drink them, okay, but she didn't have to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think this gives us something to start with.
Yeah, we're taking kind of a stab in the right direction with this.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And let me just tell you, I listen to you every Saturday that I can. I listen to you, and I really appreciate the ministry you do for all of us.
You're so welcome.
And
Thank you.
A lot of times you probably don't hear that, but you really have done a whole lot for a long time.
Well, you're very kind. Thanks for your words of great encouragement.
You bet. Thank you.
I appreciate you too. All right. Have a good day, ma'am. Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
All right. And I realize I haven't even given out the phone number. I'm so sorry. Just in case you're going, hey, Dr. Morgan, why don't you give out the phone number? 903-586-5257. And there's actually a phone line open. See, we got another phone call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Morgan. I'm calling about my father, he's been feeling pretty low lately, and he had a stroke not too long ago, facial stroke, and he kind of drags his left arm and foot and leg. Yeah. And he's just getting very slow. He's 79 years old, and he's got cholesterol, and he's got high blood pressure. And when he was young, he worked with welding with muriatic acid and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a little trouble in his lungs.
Okay.
But I would like to know what I can help him with, because he sleeps a lot during the day.
Let me give you an idea, and at first it's probably going to sound impossible, but let me have a go at it, okay?
Yes, sir.
And if I can do the hard one first, I'll do the easier ones second. So I'm going to give you some follow-up, and I'll try to be very helpful. Number one, I had a man in my office, oh my goodness, it might have been 6 or 8 months ago. I don't really remember now. Time goes by so fast. What day, what's today? Is this 2024? No, I'm just joking. But anyway, he was telling me that he had these issues that no one could figure out. And I said, well, I'm actually kind of puzzled by what I'm seeing right here. So he and I just whipped out my laptop computer, and we started looking at pictures. He said, okay, that's what it looks like right there. And he was referring to a skin condition, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to go into great detail about that, but I said, look at this. These are pictures from a doctor in Nigeria, and it's in Nigeria, Africa. Are you with me on that?
Yes, sir.
Which, from what I can tell, Nigeria, they have a lot of people that live in Nigeria. A lot. And so there was a hospital that this Nigerian doctor worked at, and he would notice that he had all these men that had the skin problem, but all of them had very high cholesterol. Their blood pressure was very, very high, and I'm thinking that maybe there was an average of 3 separate blood pressure-lowering medications that these men were on. And so what he did was he kept, you know, and I like this. I like it when people are really curious and they start thinking, like, how does this work, and why is that not right, and what do I do to help these men? Well, he found a solution, because when he was doing routine lab tests, he would do one particular lab protein called ferritin. Have you ever heard of ferritin before?
No, sir.
It's spelled F-E-R-R-I-T-I-N, ferritin.
Okay.
And so he noticed that all these men with high cholesterol and high blood pressure, they all had high ferritin, which the way that I'm going to say it to you is, that's going to be an indication that the blood is holding a lot of rust.
Okay.
And so when you got a lot of dirty rust and iron in the blood, it makes the arteries really inflamed, causing high blood pressure, and it causes the cholesterol to go way, way up. So what he did was, and this is going to sound crazy, but all he had, well, it's not crazy to me, but what he had these men do was he had them donate blood. Like if you were to go to Carter Blood Care in Tyler, as an example, you could go and they could just, you know, tell them you're there for the truth. You want to help save somebody's life. I think you save an average of 3 people's lives every time you give blood.
Be there for the vampires. I'm just kidding.
You know what I did the other day? I've only given blood twice this year, but I gave blood this last week. And I was just joking with the nurses. I said, oh, no, I'm fixing to black out. And they looked at me like they were scared. And one of the nurses says, we're going to have to give you mouth-to-mouth. I said, you know what? I think it's all coming back now. I'm not really blacking out at all. Anyway, I was just trying to be funny. But anyway, what they did was in this study with men that had really high blood pressure. And, you know, the term that I really want to use with your father is he's just got old, tired blood. I don't mean that to be offensive.
You know.
But the question is, what do we do about this? But it took 4... you know, separate blood donations. And then the men, they didn't even need cholesterol-lowering drugs. And they didn't need blood pressure medication. Now, I realize this is not the message that some people want me to say, but all I can do is just quote the study. And it you could look up doctor in Nigeria that lowered cholesterol by just... Because what you're doing is, when you get rid of the old, tired blood, the body's going to grow some new blood, right?
Correct.
Or hopefully it will. And so let's just say that your dad started the process of just giving a pint of blood like every, you know, 2 months, give or take, 56 days, whatever the numbers are. And he starts going, sweetheart, I am rejuvenating. And you start seeing there's a spring in his step. But you've got to get rid of the old rust. And so if your father's ferritin levels are above the number 50, then you really got something to work on. And if you wanted to, you could call his doctor and say, could we run a ferritin test, please? And if they say why, you can say, I think my dad's got some rust in him. But the simplest way through this is just to donate blood.
I'll cut one of his fingers. I'll cut one of his fingers so he starts bleeding.
What now?
I said I will cut one of his fingers so he starts bleeding.
Well, just take him out to the garden for about 30 minutes. I'm sure we'll get a good pint out of him that way.
Yes, I'm just kidding.
You know what? When we were kids growing up or when I was a boy, if my mom and dad butchered a hog and we collected all the blood, you know, from in a bucket, what do you think we did with the blood? Straight in the garden.
Straight in the garden.
I guarantee you, you can grow anything you want with blood. I'm serious. When the Bible says the life is in the blood, they mean it. I mean, haven't you ever heard of like having a tomato plant that won't produce and then you sprinkle some blood meal on it and all of a sudden it starts growing like crazy? It's really true. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I might try it. No.
Yeah, well, you better warn your dad ahead of time. How big is your pocket knife?
It's pretty big.
Oh, dear. Wait.
It's a machete. No.
Now, you know what? Next time I'm walking down an alley and I see a woman holding a machete, I'm going to go, hey, I remember you. I met you on the radio.
Oh, okay. My God.
So what you're doing is you're looking at what do you do to help your father rejuvenate and start to get some energy back? Because the bottom line is if your ferritin levels are high, it literally will tie up all the oxygen that he really needs to have life force and to have energy.
Okay.
It's like, and see, when ferritin's high, it acts like this huge toxic magnet that holds on to waste and debris, and you don't want that. But that happens as you age. So if he could donate blood, that may be a move in the right direction. Now, if he were my dad, I'd put him on ginseng and probably some ginkgo right now.
Ginkgo, okay.
Yeah, there's an herb called ginseng, probably the best one, is either going to be American ginseng or Korean red ginseng.
Yes,
probably most of the research is on the red Korean ginseng.
Yes, I know which one that is.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably dig some up with your machete.
Yeah, I might. I might get a machine gun, too.
Well, depending on where you go to dig it, you might need that for a little bit of, you got my back here.
Yes. Oh,
okay, so those, you're welcome. Let me know how it works out for your father.
Yes, I really appreciate it, Dr.
You're welcome very much. Appreciate your phone call. Well, thank you, ma'am.
Bye-bye.
Hey, the Bible does say if you want to get sharp, you have to sharpen yourself with another sharp person. As one man sharpens another, iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. I got it backwards. 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Morgan. I really like it when your friend from that's been to Alaska comes on.
I knew you were going to call because you know where the gold is too, don't you?
That's right. I've already got my bags packed.
It's at the John River and the Koyukuk. Did I already butcher that?
Yeah, but anyway, if that did happen, you know, I'm just joking, and we went up there. Well, I'm really not joking. You know, we need to take a couple of pints of blood with us because we might need a transfusion after all them mosquitoes.
You know what? I'm thinking the mosquitoes will do the transfusion for us.
Yeah, but we got to replenish it.
You know what? I have seen some of those programs and the mosquitoes. It looks like a black swarm or cloud coming toward them.
Yes, sir.
Have you been to Alaska before?
No, sir. I sure would like to.
Yeah, that sounds like a great place to go.
But the question I had, I don't know if you know it or not, but do you know what would be called high cholesterol on a woman and a man?
What?
Well, what would be called high? My wife is 204.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even understand your question.
Yeah.
Okay, I do now. Well, if we went back to like 1999, high cholesterol would have been labeled as anything above 300 for total cholesterol.
Okay.
And then I think maybe a few years after that, it was labeled right at 240 milligrams per deciliter. And now it's at 200, but there's been a push. This might have been 3 or 4 years ago. They want it to be like below 160, which is
because they invented the statin drugs.
How dare you suggest that there's some people that would try to make money based on high cholesterol? I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah, like if we had one cent, I would say 1 cent of each $100, just one penny of what they've made off of this COVID mess, we wouldn't have to worry about it.
We could probably end world hunger, couldn't we?
Yes, sir. But anyway, that's what I needed to know, and I do appreciate that. I don't want to keep up too old time. My wife is 204, and she's in good shape then.
That's right. There's nothing to be concerned about.
All right, sir. We appreciate you. You have
yes,
a blessed day.
Yes, thank you very much, buddy. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
All right, if you'd like to join me on the radio, the phone number is 903-586-5257. I'm looking at the clock, and there might be 7 minutes, give or take, left. But there's plenty of time for another phone call if you want to join me. If not, I've got plenty of research here. You know, let's talk about cholesterol just for a second. Well, now I've got a phone call. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you. Thanks for
your
phone call.
Thank you for picking up. Hey, I have a new father who has a brand new baby. And
yay, congratulations to
thank
him.
Thank you. Yes, he's our 11th grandson. But I'm calling because the mama had the COVID, but she's doing fine now, and now dad's got the COVID. So do we need to keep dad away from the baby, or what do we do?
Well, I would imagine the baby's getting great protection from mama's breast milk. And if I'm not mistaken, when you look at the studies, I really don't think infants have much problem with COVID at all.
There you go.
They're getting all the colostrum. They're getting all those immunoglobulins from mama. I would say the most important thing, or at least the two or three most important things, is number one, we make sure that we really nourish mama really, really well.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard the term immunoglobulins?
No.
Okay, well, sometimes a person's immune system is so run down or so weak or messed up, they may have to go get an immunoglobulin shot. Sometimes it's called a gamma globulin.
Okay.
But my point I was leading to is every egg that a human being eats is going to have somewhere between 100 to 150 immunoglobulins. So eggs are like a immune-boosting food, or they really can be.
Okay, okay.
And so if we err on the side of making sure that mama gets really high-quality food, that's going to go a long way to making sure that she can manufacture very high-quality, good breast milk that really strengthens the immune system of the baby.
Good, okay.
Now, does the dad have bad symptoms?
No, not bad. And she didn't have them bad either. She ended up, the worst thing for her was she lost her voice.
Well, probably the dad should not be kissing the mom and the baby, maybe this exact moment. Yes. Maybe we can hold off for a day or two, right?
Yes. Yes. Good idea. Okay, so I like that. We can focus on eggs because I do buy fresh farm eggs, so and I'm sure she likes eggs. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, would she be willing to eat an omelet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're going to do that this morning.
Does she have, like, a small bell beside her bed where she just rings it like a servant would come running like you?
No, but...
Oh, rats.
I'm an excited grandmother, so I'll do all I can to help out.
Oh, you're the best.
Yeah.
You could probably give her a menu. She said, you know what, I'll take the salmon.
I don't know about that, but we'll start with the egg.
Good.
Okay. Well, they're nervous because they're first-time parents, and I was like, this is first time for everybody with the COVID. So I'm like, let me call Dr. Morgan and find out what we need to do here. But
how much did the baby weigh?
He was He's weighed 9 pounds, 4 ounces.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
You know, the Dallas Cowboys may draft him.
They may.
And so that's really a good weight. And so was the baby healthy? Was the delivery good? Did everything go well?
Yes, good delivery. Mom and baby doing good. And,
is the mama able to breastfeed the baby?
He's breastfeeding, and he's latched very well.
Oh, man, this is like the double, triple whammy home run here. Way to go.
I know, so I think it's all going to be okay, but I just have to reassure them, and I'm going to let them know that I talked to a doctor.
The other thing is they ought to go out in the sunshine and just sit in the sun today.
Okay.
I mean, if the sun comes out. I think it will, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, we can do that. Yes. Okay, doctor. Well, I'm so...
All righty. Well, I wish you the very best, and congratulations. What's his name, by the way?
His name is Elliot.
Elliot, I like it. What's the middle name?
Mac.
How do you spell Mac?
M-A-C-K.
Oh, just...
And they've already nicknamed him Big Mac.
Does he have sesame seeds? No, I'm joking. That's great. That is so great.
He's 23 inches long.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? I think we should start the ground running on this kid right here. He's going to be awesome.
I think he's going to grow into his name, his nickname.
You know what? What a great nickname that is, Big Mac.
Yes.
I love it. That's so cool.
Yes,
I'm really happy for y'all. That's great.
Yes, God is good. We are blessed.
Oh, yes. He is so good.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so
much. Yes, ma'am.
Have a blessed day, and we appreciate your service.
You're sure welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a good grandmother. Number 11. Alrighty. We're probably, I'm looking at this. There's like 1 minute left. Let me just go ahead and visit with you for just a moment. I have a chart in front of me that I was trying to study. And I realize it may not like mean everything to everybody. But when you go to the doctor, I don't think there's any harm with you just making a simple request. I'd like you to check this doctor, and I'd like you to check that. And so one of the simple things that you could request that the doctor check is vitamin D levels. Yeah. Well, what do you do if you take vitamin D, but those vitamin D levels don't come up? Well, this graph gives me one possible solution. And this chart I'm looking at is just really a biochemistry chart. But let me tell you what caught my attention. You know that for your body to make vitamin D, you have to go out in the sunlight where ultraviolet B radiation comes in contact with your skin, you know, sunshine, sunbathing. And your body takes a form of cholesterol called D7-dehydrocholesterol. So basically, cholesterol is not bad. Your body uses cholesterol and ultraviolet B radiation to make vitamin D for you. But anyway, the point that I'm getting to is this. I just counted. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's 4. Well, if I get this wrong, forgive me. I think there's like 14 chemical reactions that have to take place to take cholesterol and convert that into the active form of vitamin D. The place that it ends up, it has to go through the liver. Eventually, it's all done in the kidneys, or that the end step. But at 8 different points, there is a requirement for magnesium just to be able to make the chemical conversion or the reaction to the next step. And then at the next step, you need a little bit more magnesium. Does that go to show you how much we might actually need magnesium just to make vitamin D3 work? Yes, absolutely. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Roy Morgan. It's been really good to be with you. Lord willing, I will be back again this time next week.